Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 308, 78 degrees on this Monday, August 25th, 2025. Some like to call this the last week of summer. No, say it ain't so. Labor Day weekend coming up. How's everybody doing? How was your weekend? Good time by all here. Listen, Saturday was gorgeous. Sunday, not too bad. You know, little showers in there, but it turned out just okay regardless. How's everyone doing? Did you do anything special this weekend? I was up at the Pittston Tomato Fest hanging out with my girl Sue Henry and her crew at Sabatelli's. Yes. Brought the grandson, the missus there. Had a great time. Donna, thank you for coming up. And saying you listen, avid listener to the station. I appreciate you, and thanks for taking a picture as well. And I'm glad you went over to see our friend Sue Henry while she was sweating it up on her feet for, what did she say, 47 hours? Oh, better than me. When I said that these are the hardest working people in Northeast Pennsylvania, in my picture that I posted of me, her, and Jason Sabatelli, I was not referring to me. They have that by far. I appreciate all they do there. And it was a great event up in Pittston Tomato Festival, and looking forward to the Scranton La Festa this weekend. Maybe head in there with some other plans as well. Taking the grandson to see his first Rail Riders game this weekend coming up. So we'll see you around if you're there. Some news just coming out now. It's interesting. So President Trump signs an executive order banning the burning of the American flag. Now, it's interesting because the left stream media is literally losing their mind. And our friends here in our local ABC affiliate are no different. Within the hour, they posted, "Flag burning has been recognized for decades as an act of symbolic speech protected under the First Amendment." That's the headline for their story. Trump signs executive order to prosecute anybody who burns the U.S. flag. Now, I've been reading the order, and again, the Supreme Court has already decided on this. Where this goes, does it get challenged again? I guess we'll see. As abhorrent as I believe the burning of the American flag is, I think as of now, the decisions from the Supreme Court have been clear that it is protected speech. But listen to what this administration has done here. And I don't think this is about actually prosecuting anyone for burning the American flag. It's having outlets like I just read supporting the burning of the American flag. He literally got them to rally behind burning of the American flag. Now, if you agree with that or not, if you think it's protected free speech or you find it abhorrent, this executive order is having them in droves say, this is outrageous. This is our right to burn the American flag. And you may be correct, but do you hear how ridiculous that sounds as far as a platform? So far, supporting violent illegal immigrants, he's got you to support. Supporting criminals, yep, yeah, you check that box. Support fraud, waste, and mismanagement. Oh, Democrats did that just fine. Support endless wars, yep, they don't want any peace, that's for sure. And support the burning of the American flag. So listen, on a strategy standpoint, this is brilliant. Where it goes as far as actually prosecuting anyone, I don't think it's going to go very far. Again, I'm looking at the executive order now. I really haven't dove into it verbatim, word for word. Does it change? Of course it's going to be challenged. Of course it most probably will be held up as protected speech. We will see. But in the meantime, he's got the left rallying behind burning of the American flag. And touche there. Touche there. So that's some news that's just coming out. And again, the media outlets out there, from our national affiliates to the cable news channels, are rallying behind this. Like, a flag burning has been recognized for decades as an act of symbolic speech protected under the First Amendment, ABC says. So you go with that. You go with that indeed. Cracker Barrel has also released, this is just coming out, this is an update of 1 p.m. today. They are in full damage control mode. And I think this entire Cracker Barrel argument is pretty funny. I like Cracker Barrel. I like the old Cracker Barrel. If they want to try and refresh it and renew it, you're taking a risk for a staple such as Cracker Barrel. When we travel, especially when we travel down south or travel long ways, I usually looked for a Cracker Barrel, you know, to grab a nice meal for the ride. You know, you always know what you're getting, and it was always good. The environment was nice. It was friendly. Not that that might change, but you know, I'm not a fan of this. So they released a statement. Cracker Barrel is making a promise to customers after its new logo sparked backlash from fans and the restaurant chain. We're grateful for your heartfelt voices. You've also shown us that we could have done a better job sharing who we are and who we'll always be, Cracker Barrel wrote. Cracker Barrel has been working on a wider rebrand for some time beyond the new logo. It has also started remodeling its country-style restaurants and retail stores. The company began ramping up this overhaul last year by swapping out older, more antique-filled designs with lighter paint and modern furniture. But Monday's statement emphasized that the 55-year-old restaurant's core values and traditions haven't changed. The things people love most about our stores aren't going anywhere. Rocking chairs on the porch, a warm fire in the hearth, peg games on the tables, unique treasures in our gift shop, and vintage Americana with antiques pulled straight out of our warehouse in Lebanon, Tennessee. As for the old timer, an image of the founder, Uncle Herschel, removed from the logo, Cracker Barrel said he would still appear on the menu and elsewhere in the country store. Our menu's favorite, like meatloaf and country fried steak, that's one of my favorite, by the way, will also be sticking around, Cracker Barrel said, with new dishes joining the menu. We know we won't always get everything right the first time, but we'll keep testing, learning, and listening to our guests and employees, the statement said. At the end of the day, our promise is simple. You will always find comfort, community, and country hospitality here at Cracker Barrel. Founded in 1969, Cracker Barrel operates nearly 660 locations across the U.S., according to their website. This is the latest. This latest look marks the brand's fifth evolution of its logo to date. Listen, people don't like change. It's as simple as that. I think if they would have done this slowly and more quietly, it wouldn't have raised such a ruckus. I think if they would have just test marketed it a little bit, I think the whole thing's comical. People like to get outraged about the strangest things. Listen, if you don't want to go to Cracker Barrel, you don't go to Cracker Barrel. If I walk in and it doesn't feel like a place that I feel welcomed in, listen, I'm going to walk out and go elsewhere. But we'll see. I think marketing executives, especially today in this generation, you know, they've gone and gotten their MBAs from all these fancy schools and got all these fancy letters. They have to justify their existence. They have to prove that they are worth probably their six-figured salaries doing what they do. So they all come out with this big idea book. Hey, you know, I have a marketing degree from Harvard. I'm an MBA. I got this. I got that. I think this is the way we should go. And they listen to it. And we've seen time and time again how that falls flat on its face. The customer is the ultimate marketing expert. And it always will be. There's ways to do things and there's ways not to do things. And I think this statement by Cracker Barrel is just a huge damage control saying, well, hey, we're not really changing that much. We didn't get the rollout properly correct, but we're really not changing. So, you know, give us a chance here. And it'll be up to the customers and their board based on their market destruction, what happens here. But again, I don't think this is a left or right thing. I don't think this is a good or bad thing. I think this is just people listening to the wrong people. You have these individuals coming out of college who think they know what they don't know because they haven't known. You write that one down. And they have to justify their existence. They have to justify their salaries. They have to justify, you know, their positions. And we've all worked with people like that. Marketing is renowned for people like that because, you know, what's their job? Hey, I got the next big idea. I got the next logo for us or the brand that's going to bring us over the top. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. No, no. Focus on good food, comfortable environment, and a place where people feel warm and welcomed. And that's what they've always done. You know, could they have moderately changed a little bit and maybe upgraded some things? Possibly. But quite honestly, some of their new modern looking stores looked ridiculous. You know, look like a diner, a modern diner or a Chipotle. That's not where I want to go when I want to eat Southern comfort food. So that's just me. We'll see. You know, I'm willing to see where this goes here. And I think the whole thing is pretty comical, to be honest with you. So that's a statement from Cracker Barrel that just came out at 1 o'clock today. So I wanted to get that to you since it seems to be the talk of the town here, let's say. Also here, we got Gen Z entrepreneur says that a work-life balance is what keeps his generation mediocre. And it's interesting here because it says, you know, 22-year-old entrepreneur Emil Barr is sparking generational debate and financial freedom by age of 30 worth sacrificing sleep, health, and friendship. That's the question. Is financial freedom by the age of 30 worth sacrificing sleep, health, and friendship? First of all, we're listening to a 22-year-old entrepreneur here. Now, usually I would write that off and say, why am I paying attention to you? Well, the Step Up Social founder, who says he's built two companies already valued at $20 million, says yes. Well, now he makes me want to listen. You're 22 years old and you've built two companies worth $20 million. Extraordinary sacrifice is the price of extraordinary achievement. Makes sense, right? You work hard, you make big gains. Not always, but a lot of times. If you're a hard worker, you are going to succeed. Being successful required a lot of sacrifice, and it wasn't easy, and that's not necessarily something everyone wants to hear. I saw folks like Elon Musk that slept on factory floors to build Teslas, and people like Kobe Bryant that trained at 4 a.m. even in the off season. So I made those same decisions to grow my business. It makes sense, right? He doubled down on that message in Wall Street Journal op-ed on Monday, insisting that work-life balance keeps you mediocre. I don't know about mediocre, but it definitely hinders your success. It definitely hinders your advancement. Now, for some people, mediocre is probably a bad word. You know, maybe they just want to be comfortable and have a balanced family life. That's not being mediocre. That's being successful in your vision for your life. But yes, if you want to focus totally on your position, on your job, on your dreams of making more money, at the behest of ignoring maybe your family and special events and your friends and leisure, yes, those things will suffer. All of those things will suffer. And I look back at my own life where there was a balance. My family came first. Now, I always gave 110% to my job. I always did everything I had to do for that. Matter of fact, I thought I was going to not make it home after work a couple of times and told my family goodbye that I may not be coming home. And that sounds selfish when you look at it, especially now. Why wouldn't you just go home? Why would you risk that and not be with your family? Well, it's because it was who I was. It's why I did what I did. And hundreds, if not thousands of others did the same thing, not just me. And tens of thousands, if not millions, of our armed services do that now. Our first responders do that now. But I always took any amount of overtime that I made in time, compensation time, so I could take time off. So I could take 3 and 4 day weekends and be at every event for my family and be at those baseball games and be at the soccer games and be at the graduations and the birthdays. I made it a point to do those things. And at the financial hindrance of myself, because basically when you retire, that's based on your take home for the rest of your life. So do I feel that now? Of course. Do I think it was a detriment to my life? Absolutely not. I think one of the reasons my kids are where they are today is because of that involvement that I had, because of hitting a 30-year marriage next month. You know, 2 months, not next month. Keep thinking it's September already. In October, 30 years married, a big part of that was because of the time I invested in being with my partner, being with my wife, being a family together. So in my view, that was very successful. Now, did it hinder me financially? Sure. Did it take away some advancement that I possibly could have had? Absolutely. But if you're willing to set that all aside, if you're willing to do without a family and just focus on your career and work hard and work 18, 20-hour days, yeah, you're going to be successful. You will pay off. That doesn't mean you're mediocre. So that's where I digress from this take here. But where normally I would write this 22-year-old right off, he's got a lot to say here, and there's a lot of good things there. Maybe at 22, you're not focused on family, children. And he says if he focuses and does puts all his effort into that work journey and not a work-life balance, by 30, he'll be where he needs to be. Well, maybe his big plan is at 30, he is going to meet the right woman. Maybe at 30, he starts that family. And that is his pathway. And no one's pathway needs to be the same. But the gist of this story is if you want to be successful, work hard. Work hard at that goal. Write that goal down. Write down what you need to do to get there. And start checking those boxes. Be the best you can, even at the little tasks, even at the menial, mediocre things that you need to do. Even in the positions that may not be the position you want to be in, be the best at it. Get noticed. Work above and beyond that position. So you can get to where you want to get to. So I find this, I'm going to post this article on my social media because I think it's worth a read. And again, I think you should take from it what you get from it as far as maybe it's not mediocre. Maybe it's my happy place and my balance in life. A work-life balance does not mean you're mediocre. It means you may be where you want to be. Are you as successful? Sure, but success isn't everything. For some people. It's 324, going on 325 here at WILK. We'll be back.